Shalom, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud. I want to welcome you to what we call Hebrew Treasures. It's our weekly Hebrew word study. I remember 20 plus years ago now, had a conversation with an Israeli friend of mine, and he was telling me about how that he had led his brothers to the Messiah simply by talking about the word bara, which is spelled Beit Resh Aleph. What he was explaining to me was that the Beit represents Ben, or the sun, the Resh is Ruach, or spirit, and Aleph is Av, or father. And just by that, his brothers came to believe in the Messiah. And I was fascinated by this story, and so that led me on a quest. I wanted to see what there was to this Hebrew language. Well, jumping ahead 20-something years now, that's why we're doing what we're doing. We're going to have a Hebrew word study. And we're not going to get so much into the grammar and those kinds of things per se, but we're going to talk about some of the interesting concepts that we can see in these Hebrew words. So I felt that for our first installment, the perfect place to begin is at the beginning. Literally, the first word in the Hebrew text, in the Torah, what we call Genesis, is the word Breshit, which means in the beginning. Now, technically speaking, what we have in the word Breshit is really two words. Be is translated in the, and Reshit is beginning. But we'll just treat it as one word, Breshit, or in the beginning. Now, Reshit comes from the root word Rosh, Rosh, which is Resh Aleph Shin. Resh Aleph Shin. Rosh means head. Now, this can be the head of a body. It can be the head of something else. It's what it initiates something. And it can be used as an agricultural term, meaning the heads of wheat, for example. Now, what we're going to get into is how this relates to the Messiah and these biblical principles. Of course, we understand that Messiah is the head of the body, and that means that everything is initiated by him, it emanates from him, and then it goes to the rest of the body. Let me read you a few scriptures that kind of undergird this concept. First, in Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15, it says this, "For he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head, or the rosh, of the body, the kahal, the congregation, the church, whatever word you prefer there, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence." And so if we wanted to just summarize what Paul said there in one word, it would be Rosh. He's the head. Everything comes out of him, exists because of him, is initiated by him. He is the Rosh of Reshit, of the beginning. Now, another very familiar portion of Scripture is found in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." Again, to summarize that, he is the beginning. He's the beginning of all things, and he was in the beginning, or Breshit. And then finally, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, Messiah himself says to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write this, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the Reshit, or the beginning of the creation of God." And so Messiah himself refers to himself as the Reshit, the beginning of the creation of God. And so when we look at the word Breshit, we don't just see a Hebrew word that gets translated simply as in the beginning. What we see in the beginning is the Messiah. And so consequently, we understand that he is the head of everything. And he's the head of the house. He's the head of the universe, that which was being created. And this universe, the creation, was to be an abode in which he and his beloved, his wife, throughout Scripture called Israel, could dwell together, could produce offspring, as it were, followers, disciples. In my opinion, we see this concept of the house being portrayed in the garden. You have a place called Eden, and it's within that region called Eden that God planted a garden toward the east. And in the garden, there's what's called the midst of the garden. In my opinion, Eden would correspond to the court. The Garden of Eden would correspond to the holy place, and the midst of the garden would correspond to the most holy place. A house, a place where he could dwell among his people. An abode where he and his bride, so to speak, could dwell together. In the wilderness, in Exodus 25, let them build me a sanctuary that I may, shchanti is the term, or dwell among, literally dwell in them. So from the beginning, there is this concept that he wanted to have a house, and it's the head of the house who is creating all this for his bride and he to dwell with one another. Later on, the temple is a representation of this. And then, of course, at the very end of the book, in the book of Revelation, we have the New Jerusalem. So all of that is to say, these are all expressions and manifestations of how the Creator from the beginning wished to establish his house. That's also hinted at by the letter Beit, the very first letter of the Scripture, the very first letter of Bereshit. All that summarized is this: that house has a head, and the head of the house is the Messiah. You and I, as the body, are called to be part of that house. In fact, as his body, we help make up that house. Here's how. 1 Peter 2:5, this is what Peter says: you also, speaking to you and to me, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a royal priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Yeshua the Messiah. In other words, as the body, we're also these living stones, and these living stones are to come together to build up this house. But who's the head of the house? Well, again, it's the Messiah. So in the very first word of Scripture, there is this concept established that the Creator wants to build a house. And everything that's written afterward is going to reinforce the intention that's revealed at the very beginning. Now, still looking at this word Bereshit, which is Beit, Resh, Aleph, Shin, Yud, Tav, Bereshit. If we look at the first two letters, Beit and Resh, and then look at the last two letters, Yud and Tav, when we take those four letters and put them together, they give us this word, Brit. Beit Resh Yud Tav, Brit, which is the Hebrew word for covenant. Now, extracting those four letters, we're left with the two middle letters, which are Aleph and Shin. And Aleph and Shin spells the word Esh. And Esh is the Hebrew word for fire. Fire. Now, when God makes covenant with man, and we can see example after example of this, one of them is when he made the covenant of the pieces with Abraham. Fire is almost always involved with that. Consider what happened at Mount Sinai. In fact, let's read in Exodus 19 what happened at Mount Sinai in verse 16 through 18. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And so, when God is going to make covenant with Israel, there is fire. He appears as fire. There's a similar episode in Acts chapter 2 when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and there appeared cloven tongues of fire. So again, in the beginning we see this principle of how God wants to establish a house. And in this house, He wants to abide with His beloved, His bride, His Israel. But for that to happen, God and man had to be in covenant. And we know that our God is a consuming fire. We can read about that in Deuteronomy 4, chapter 24. There are other places where He's referred to as this consuming fire. And those who are in covenant with Him are expected to present our bodies, Paul says in Romans chapter 12, as living sacrifices, implying that our carnal nature is to be sacrificed in that holy fire. So again, this concept of a house, the head of the house, building, creating an abode where He and His beloved could dwell one with the other, be in covenant with one another. Well, again, for that to happen, the carnal nature has to be consumed in His fire. Now, for this to occur, for us to be in a situation where we could be in covenant with Him, especially considering man's fall, something had to happen. And that's why the Messiah, the head of the house, the Rosh, came to this earth. He came to this earth to be slain. But when was He slain? Well, some people would say, well, 2,000 years ago. But in reality, here's what Scripture tells us. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, it says that the Lamb is slain from the foundation of the world. In other words, at the beginning. Now, here's why that's very interesting to us. Because, again, looking at the word Bereshit, Beit, Resh, Aleph, Shin, Yud, Tav, if we simply look at the first three letters, Beit, Resh, Aleph, then we see the word bara, to create. The last three letters are shin, yud, tav. And that actually forms a word too, pronounced shis or sheath. So bara means to create. So what does sheath or sheath mean? It means to appoint, to place, to put. In fact, it's also the name Seth. The word Seth or name Seth comes from this word sheath. Now, what this is suggesting to us is that God created or He appointed for man a place to dwell, and that is to say, to dwell with God, God in His midst. That was the plan, that was and is the purpose of creation, to build this house. So He appointed a place. Now, the Talmudic definition of this particular word sheath or shis is interesting because the Talmudic definition is foundation. Even though it literally means to appoint or to place or to put, they say that it means foundation. And to me, that hints that at the beginning, God appointed for a foundation. Every house has to have a foundation. It has to be built upon a sure foundation. And so bara, sheath, He created the foundation, or He, if I can put it this way, He laid the foundation at the beginning. And what would the foundation be? Well, for the house. Now, rabbinical commentaries elaborate just a bit further on this particular word and say that this sheath that He created was something that we could actually see. It's not something that's invisible, but it's something that actually was on the Temple Mount, that it was a natural formation on the Temple Mount that ended up being, as it turns out, at the base of the altar. You know, that altar that we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, where the fire consumes the sacrifice. Well, rabbinical commentary says that there was a natural formation in Mount Moriah at the base of where the altar would be established or set. And being at the base of the altar, that the sheath actually became a conduit or a channel, if you will, that all the blood from the sacrifice would flow into the sheath, and then it would run down into the Kidron Valley. Here's what I'm getting at. If we follow this rabbinical concept, the word bereshit, breaking it down into bara and sheath, says this, or hints at this, that he, that is Elohim, the creator, created the sheath, or he appointed this sheath, that which was to appropriate the blood of the sacrifice. And to me, that hints at the Messiah, that he is the sheath, if you will. He is the appointed. He is the foundation. He's the head of the house, but he's also the foundation of that house. You know, we read in Colossians, and to paraphrase, how that everything exists because of him. Everything came forth from him. He existed before everything. And if I could put it this way, he's the foundation for everything. John said that he was in the beginning. He was with God. He was God. Everything exists because of him. Well, if you consider a house has to sit on the foundation. And if it doesn't sit on the foundation, well, you are not going to have a stable house. So, again, in the word bereshit, whether we look at it as Rosh, the head, or whether we look at the covenant of fire, or whether we look at it, he created the sheath, everything is going to take us back to the Messiah. So much to Hebrew, and that's just the first word, and we're not done with it yet. But we'll see you next week, and we're going to talk about the word sheath or sheet a bit more. Until then, enjoy.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BuildCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BuildCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.